Welcome to Community Conversations. These are pre-recorded interviews brought to you each Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m. on KRFY. Because of ongoing concerns about the COVID pandemic, we are not able to be in the studio doing live broadcast interviews right now. But we are still dedicated to recording and bringing to you topics of local and current interest, highlighting voices from our community. For Community Conversations, we are using phones and web-based technology so that participants can be recorded remotely. Please bear with us if there are any gaps or hiccups that might be caused by a slow or unstable phone or internet connection. Also, keep in mind that because these interviews are recorded, information may change between the time of this recording and the time that you hear it broadcast. Thank you for joining us for today's Community Conversation on KRFY 88.5 FM, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. Good morning, and welcome to today's edition of Community Conversations. I'm your host, Phil Huff, and again this week, I'm absent my co-host, Julie. She had some unplanned things come up around the holidays as we record this a few days prior to airplay right now. But I'm assured she'll be back with us for the rest of the shows in December. We miss you, Julie, if you're listening. Today's always an exciting show. It's the one right after Thanksgiving. And being a Tuesday morning show, that means it's Giving Tuesday. And we're going to talk a lot about Giving Tuesday today. We're going to talk about how the end of the year giving season is so important for the nonprofit partners that support so much good work in our community. And so it's not only about Giving Tuesday, it's about the whole season of giving and sharing and community support that is enjoyed all over the country, but I think really comes to the forefront here in our community in Sandpoint. So we have some of our long-term and most excellent community partners with us today. Turning to them to introduce themselves, we have Britta Meyerly with the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness. Hi, Britta.
Hi, Phil.
And Steve Holt from the Lake Pendre Waterkeepers. Steve?
How you doing, Phil? Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And Janice Radar from the Lions Club. I think, Janice, you're new to the show, but you've been with the Lions Club a long time. Good morning, Janice.
Good morning, Phil.
Thank you. So let's start with just a little bit for our listeners. We have a lot of new listeners in town, a lot of new people moving to town. And for the benefit of those who might not know all our community members, Britta, tell us just a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Thanks, Phil. So my name's Britta Meyerly. I'm the Deputy Executive Director for Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness. If you are new to town and don't know about the Scotchmans, Scotchman Peak is the highest point in Bonner County, and it is in an area that is recommended to become wilderness. So our organization exists to help that become a reality. We've been at it for just about 16 years, and I've been at it for just about five.
Thanks, Britta. Steve, tell us about a little bit about yourself, what you do for the Waterkeepers, and the brief history of the Waterkeepers.
Yeah, my name is Steve Holt. I'm executive director of the Lake Pendre Waterkeeper. The Waterkeeper started back in 2009, I believe, with basically a mission to protect the Clark Fork Pendre watershed so that it can be swimmable, fishable, and drinkable for future generations. So we're an advocate for water quality, and we have really enjoyed being in the area. We feel a lot of generous support from the local community, and I think people are like really understanding more and more about how important water quality is in our region.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. Those of you who are listening on the radio can't see the video portion of our Zoom recording here, but back when Steve started with that and I started with the Friends, we neither of us had gray hair, I don't think. I think we both had a full flock of, we had hair.
Like going nowhere right now.
So thank you for staying at it so long, Steve.
No problem.
Janice, tell us a little bit about you and what you do for the Lions Club and the long history, but in a short form, of the Lions Club.
My name is Janice Rader. I'm the current vice president and treasurer of the Lions Club. I've been with the Sandpoint Lions Club for 5 years. We have a fabulous community program where we provide glasses for people in need or hearing aids for people in need. We also do our obvious Sandpoint Toys for Tots program, which we kicked off November 1st. And then we do a fabulous Easter parade for all the kids to come out and collect Easter eggs. And we do a 4th of July celebration, which unfortunately with COVID this year didn't happen for us, but we still managed to view them for the other company that put them on. And we're excited to be here and actually providing toys this year, even through the pandemic.
And I'm really excited for our listeners to hear more about Toys for Tots and how this year with the COVID pandemic, things are changing a little bit. We're going to get to that. But let's start with the big topic for the day being Tuesday, December 1, Giving Tuesday. Britta, can you give us a bit of a background on what exactly Giving Tuesday is and how it came about?
Happy to, Phil. So Giving Tuesday is the first Tuesday after Thanksgiving. So you have Thanksgiving and then Black Friday and then Small Business Saturday. There's probably something for Sunday. I just don't know what it is. Take a break Sunday, Cyber Monday, and then Giving Tuesday. And the idea behind Giving Tuesday is to encourage people to do good. It was started in 2012 by New York's 92nd Street Y. And they did it in partnership with the United Nations Foundation. And then in July of 2019, Giving Tuesday actually spun out and became its own organization. So it's gotten to be quite large in the last 8 years. And their main focus is just to build a more just and generous world. And they encourage that through whether it's donating of financial resources or supporting an organization you love by volunteering, even just making someone smile, helping a neighbor out or a stranger. We've all heard about the people who get in line at the coffee cart in the morning and say, hey, I'll pay for the person behind me. And then they pay for the person behind them. And ideas like that are kind of what's behind Giving Tuesday, showing up for an issue or people that you care about, like Toys for Tots or like the Water Keepers or like the Scotchman Peaks, and just helping those in need and really giving of yourself as opposed to the kind of consumer driven philosophy that we have around the holidays recently.
Yeah, I think it's really a nice antidote to Black Friday, and as the concept of Black Friday really became ensconced in the public imagination decades ago, it really gave rise to the small town shopping Saturday and Sunday. And the downtown business owners here, I know, appreciate that we throw a shout out to the small town business weekend. And they do see a big surge. And then, of course, there's Cyber Monday or Cyber all week now with COVID, as more people are shifting to that online retail experience. And not to forget our nonprofit partners who do so much, and focusing that on Giving Tuesday is a nice way to highlight it. But it's not only about Giving Tuesday. It's really about the whole, how do we evaluate our relationships with each other and our community at the end of the year. And for many, if not most or all nonprofits, the last 6 weeks of the year are so important for donations. And so that's what we want to highlight today. And I think maybe we'll turn next to Steve and tell us a little bit more about what the Water Keepers has been doing this year. If you will, kind of give us the brief annual report, maybe the upcoming scenario for the coming year, and why it's so important for members of the community to support the Water Keepers.
Yeah, thanks, Phil. This year we wrapped up, I think it was in September, we finished our ninth year of water quality monitoring on the lake, which is a program that's a staple for us. We have 14 different stations that we monitor, 11 different criteria. We go out five times, once a month for 5 months. We send our samples to get analyzed. The data comes back. We enter that into our system. And I'm proud to say for the first time, you know, before the end of the year, we've gotten all of our data entered in on our website. And so you're welcome to sort of view that. So we just finished that up. And then we received a grant from the Idaho Department of Environmental Quality recently to do a project in conjunction with them to map all of the sources of drinking water that actually come out of Lake Ponderay. You know, there's all these different sources that come out, but we actually don't even have a record of how many and where they are specifically. So we're going to work with them to do that, and then also put out some educational materials for people to understand why it's so important to protect your drinking water sources and how you can go about doing that. And then some of the things that we have coming up, you know, due to COVID, we had a few cancellations on our end. We had a water summit that we did last year that was really successful in bringing some expertise to the community to talk about different topics around water quality, and we had to cancel that. We have an educational program where we go into the fifth grade classrooms primarily and do a lake model demonstration that teaches kids about the ecosystem of the lake. And then we have, in conjunction with our water quality monitoring, we have to do a training for our citizen science. This is a citizen science driven program. And so we were actually able to get some funding to do a video production for each one of those different segments. So it will now be Steve Holt, producer of film, video, or something. So, but we're going to hit it hard, and we've got some good people that we're working with. So we're going to do a virtual water, a recorded water summit that should be coming out sometime in the first 3 months of the, you know, sometime in the first quarter, I think. And then we're going to be working on a lake model demonstration where we can sort of expand our reach. You know, the video production, I think, is going to kind of help us be able to get our message to a lot more people than we could when we were just doing it, the in-person visits, because we'll have a bigger audience. And then, that's some of the things that we've got coming up. We got our plate full, and we feel blessed that, you know, we have been supported by the community. We made it over a decade. That's, you know, we're thrilled about that. We do have a Giving Tuesday campaign. If you can go to our website, just hit right on our homepage, you know, right below the header there, there's a little donate button. It'll take you to another page, talks a little bit more about what we're doing. So, you know, we're excited for this year.
Now, I know, Steve, from the past we've talked, and some people are under the impression that the water keepers might be an extension of the city, county, state government. And don't you get your government funding?
No, we don't get any funding from government agencies or sources other than an occasional grant. You know, I think this is one of the first times we've received any state and federal money to do work in conjunction with the Department of Environmental Quality. So we're really excited about that. They've been more and more supportive of our monitoring program over the years and really see the value in it. We've been able to supply them with some really good data. A lot of people think that we get funding from, you know, our umbrella organization, the Waterkeeper Alliance, which is an organization that is basically recruiting small groups of local community members to form waterkeepers. I think there's 350 different waterkeepers worldwide right now, 300 or so like nationally, and there's a lot of people that have a misconception that we actually, you know, receive funding from them, which in, you know, it actually goes the other way. We actually pay our dues to use their brand. So, you know, we really rely on community support and some local foundations here, and we feel blessed to have made it this far. We feel proud of the work that we've been doing.
I just say, way to go, Sandpoint, Bonner County, for all the community support. And soon to be coming, your Internet Movie Database profile, your IMDb. So I do want to say, as we move through the giving season, it's we really, from KRFY, we really appreciate all the support that the community has shown for our local radio and community radio. Takes a few dollars to keep the lights on. It's volunteer broadcasters that help keep it going, but we do have our needs for utilities and for paid station management. So we not only accept, we truly appreciate the donations throughout the year. And in this COVID year, the radio station has had to shift from the normal pledge drives to individuals on a more steady basis. So if you like public radio, if you support public radio, support your community radio station, KRFY, you can go to our secure online PayPal button at krfy.org, or you can donate via a check to 323 North First Avenue, KRFY. We're going to turn now to the Friends of Scotch and Peaks. Britta Meyerly, tell us a little bit more about what the Friends have done this year, what we're looking forward to hearing from the Friends through the winter, and again, why community support is so important.
Thanks, Phil. So like I mentioned before, with Friends of Scotch and Peaks, our mission is to pass on a Scotch and Peaks wilderness to our children and grandchildren. This year, achieving that mission has looked a little different than other years, and that's okay. We're adapting. We like to think that we're nimble because we're small. So we are working toward that mission through outreach, education, stewardship, and advocacy. And in order to adapt for outreach, we did a few things differently this year. We started a podcast back in March. Our latest episode went up last night about 6 o'clock. So you can find Your Wild Place anywhere you listen to podcasts, and check out our bonus Thankful for the Wild episode. Hear from quite a few voices that some listeners may know. We're starting to do some virtual events. We had our State of the Scotchmans was virtual this year. We live streamed it from my garage, and our garage band consisted of John Hastings and Sandy Compton, otherwise known as Bob Missed the Bus. It was a pretty fun yet unique event. And we have some other fun virtual events coming up that I will talk about in a little bit. And we also are kind of re-envisioning how we do outdoor education. We have a winter tracks program that we partner with schools throughout the region. And we usually take them, we meet the kids outside somewhere. For Bonner County, we meet those kids at Round Lake. And that's probably not really a safe option this year. So we are gonna go virtual. And that kind of brings me into our Giving Tuesday campaign this year and our sort of end of season giving campaign in general. We are hoping to gain some financial support for our virtual winter tracks program. And the specific piece we're looking for help with is goat boxes. And no, not greatest of all time, although that would be fun. We'd like to think they are. But we are going to have goat boxes that are great outdoor activity teaching boxes. I think that's what GOAT stands for. And they will be filled with things like how to identify tracks, like rubber tracking stamps. And you can't see me because this is the radio, but I'm modeling that for those of us on Zoom. And how to make your own compass and planting your own native tree and all sorts of different hands-on activities the kids can do in the classroom or at home if they are virtual learning. And we can provide these boxes to the teachers and then have virtual guidance from outdoor educators that are all volunteers and experts in their field, which is pretty awesome. We already have schools from Bonner County in Idaho, Lincoln County and Sanders County in Montana signed up, and they're excited for their students to have an opportunity to have something that's not canceled. A lot of the kids have dealt with stuff everything fun's been canceled. So this will be a fun way to have something not be canceled.
So money helps to support all the programs you've just heard about. Before we go to Toys for Tots, though, I think it would be good to talk a little bit, too, about the role that volunteers have in donating their expertise and their time. So beyond the dollars at this time of year, also most groups are looking to bring in new volunteers and sometimes for some very specific things. So Britta, while you're going, why don't you continue along that vein and then we'll talk with Steve some.
Thanks, Phil. So I mentioned that our educators, our outdoor educators for Winter Tracks are volunteers. And so we're always looking for volunteers with programs like that. We wouldn't be able to do half of the work we do without volunteers. We have about 150 people a year that volunteer for us, whether it's as trail ambassadors on Scotchman Peak, telling people not to let the goats lick them, or keeping trails in the Scotchman's maintained through an Adopt-a-Trail program, or out as a socially distanced trail crew. We also have volunteers on our board, some of which may be helping out with our upcoming virtual pint night on December 10th. They'll be helping lead us in some virtual games like Jeopardy and Scattergories and Code Words. And I can't remember what the fourth one was, but if you check on our website, the website will tell you what the fourth one is. Scotchmanpeaks.org. Go to our events page and you can sign up for virtual pint night. It's free.
Thank you, Britta. Mm-hmm. Steve, I know volunteers have a lot of interesting things that the waterkeepers have used volunteers for. I've come out and it's not hard necessarily to get someone interested in coming and doing something about the lake or for the lake.
Oh, no. I mean, people are really understanding the importance of water quality. And you know, every community's got some science geeks out there, so to speak. And so we've been able to garner some of them. You know, one of the most important pieces for us is our citizen science, you know, monitoring program, which I spoke of a little bit earlier. And these people are really dedicated. I mean, they'll launch their own boat. They trek, you know, far reaches across the lake to different places. They have to schlep their samples up to our office. They have to come in before and collect all the bottles. So they're working really, really hard. We also have, you know, a great board of directors, and each one of the board members, you know, brings a certain talent, whether it's, you know, legalese, you know, accounting, you know, science-based understanding of water quality. And so these are actually critical components to our organization that we wouldn't be able to survive without. So volunteers just play a huge part in what we do. Not to mention, we get a lot of people that come and help us, you know, on our Sand Creek cleanup and just pick up trash. Right. And so there's room for everybody out there to be able to participate. So it's been great.
Thank you, Steve. I think the theme of the volunteers segues nicely into Janice, who's been waiting ever so patiently. And so let's talk about Toys for Tots and the Christmas box dinner. It's not a box dinner this year, and I'm going to miss that. I've always looked forward to coming down and helping things boxed up for dinner, but it's different this year. So walk us through how the season's different for the Lions.
Yeah, this has been a complete upheaval on our program. I mean, we have so many people that love to come out and help us bag toys, and they love to take the parents in and shop in our toy room, and they love to help box the food for our Christmas dinners. And unfortunately, with this pandemic, I mean, we were worried that it would happen at all. And the fact that we've managed to put together some type of a last minute program is just amazing. The volunteers here have gone above and beyond, putting in 30 to 40 hours a week to get this program off the ground. So we've decided to do things a lot differently this year. Instead of having the parents come in and shop, we are taking wish lists for each child, and we're doing the shopping the best we can and bagging up the toys and then calling each parent as the order's ready, and we'll meet them in the parking lot to deliver their toys. And then instead of the food boxes, we're gonna do a gift certificate to Yolks for each family so that they can buy their own food that they need for their Christmas dinner.
It sounds like a very creative approach. It also sounds like one that's potentially more expensive than you've done in the past. How's mm-hmm. the fundraising going?
Well, we've kind of got off to a good start. We've had 3 donations so far. We normally don't really start our program until after Thanksgiving, but we started early this year. We figured the anticipation with our unemployment rate so high might be a little bit greater than it has been in previous years. And so we started November 1st taking applications, and we've had over 80 applications already. And so we're looking to have a really busy season. And we're hoping that now that the word's gotten out through the Daily Bee and through the radio, that people will start donating and helping our cause.
And so there's really two different reasons people might contact you, and let's break them out a little bit. The applications, that's for those families who want to participate in the services. How do they apply? Tell us about that.
So we have applications available. There's a link to the application on our Facebook page, on the Sam Point Lions Facebook page. And then we also have applications available this year at the food bank and at the den. And we have someone here at our Lions Club den at 609 South Ellis Street in Sandpoint on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 9 to 3. And we have applications available on the door, or if someone's here, you can come on in and fill out an application. We do ask that you wear a mask, and we are sanitizing the door and everywhere that someone would come in to fill out an application.
And somebody says, I'm really glad that the Toys for Tots are continuing on this year and I want to help. What do they do? How can they help or contribute or donate?
Well, we have fantastic businesses in our town, as everybody knows. Our community rallies behind this Toys for Tots event every year. And we have businesses throughout Bonner County that have offered to put coin jars in. We have Arnie's Conoco. They're such a big supporter. And they've actually donated turkeys this year, because we have one upcoming fundraiser at the Hoot Owl. We are having our spaghetti feed, which, because the Hoot Owl has already been open through this, they're prepared to serve people dinner through this pandemic. And so you come in for $7, you get all you can eat spaghetti, and you can get a raffle ticket, and we're gonna give away a turkey every half an hour while people come in. And yes, you have to be present to win the turkey. But we have donation sites at Columbia Bank. We have donation sites at Mountain West Bank, at the Daily Bee, and then there's coin jars at Mr. Sub, who is also one of our fabulous supporters, and at the Columbia Bank downtown and the Ponderay branch.
And you have enough volunteers with the expanded schedule of appointments. Do you need more help hands-on?
Our lovely volunteers that are members are doing really well keeping up so far. We're a little concerned after Thanksgiving, if it starts picking up, we may need some more volunteers. And of course, we always need new members. Even through the pandemic, we need new members.
Well, you can put me down. We'll talk offline. But
excellent. But, thank you, Phil.
Yeah. So before we wrap up, I think it'd be nice to just go around again, round robin. If there's any closing thoughts, something that's come up that we haven't addressed, that you'd like to mention, something you forgot to say about, oh yeah, we've got this coming up, or this is a reason why we depend on need public support. And Britta, why don't we start with you?
Thanks, Phil. There are a couple of events we have coming up that I wanted to mention. November 30th through December 12th, we are going to have a fundraiser at the Idaho Poor Authority. People can come in and grab some beer to go, get your growler filled, grab something out of the cooler, and buy raffle tickets for some couple of raffle-tastic baskets that we'll have up in the front window. We also, on December 8th, are going to have a sip and shop at the winery, at the Ponderay Winery. You can do your Christmas shopping and get your magnum of wine filled all at one time and support the Friends of Scratch and Peaks Wilderness. That's from 4 to 8 p.m. at Ponderay Winery on December 8th. We have our virtual pint night on December 10th, where we'll be playing games. And there is a great opportunity to support local businesses through that as well. We definitely appreciate the local business community so much and their support of our organization over the years. And so we want to make sure, given their difficult time right now, that we can help support them also. And lastly, a teaser to save the date for our Wild and Scenic Film Festival. Last year we had it at the Heartwood Center. It was amazing. This year it's going to be virtual, so you can watch it from the comfort of your own couch on January 30th. There will be details to come.
Thank you, Britta. Steve, closing thoughts, final promos?
Yeah, well, thanks, Phil. One of the things that I did forget to mention was there'll be an issue that's up and coming here that we're concerned about. Back in 2008, there was a committee of stakeholders in our local area that that were assembled to put a shoreline protection code into Bonner County code. And currently the Bonner County commissioners are taking a look at trying to revise that code to allow additional development within the 40-foot setback. So we're going to be following that. We're very concerned about it. We'll be getting out some additional information to the public here soon. If people are concerned about it, please, this will be an opportunity to weigh in over the next several months, but we feel like it's going to be time to act here pretty soon. And then other than that, I wanted to just say a shout out to all the people in our community that have supported the Lake Pendere Waterkeeper over the years. We really couldn't do it without you. You're the heartbeat of the organization, really. And I also wanted to put out a thank you to you, Phil, and the different hats that you wear. And then also to KRFY for doing such a great job of keeping the community informed about local events, giving us nonprofits and other organizations an opportunity to come on the radio when we have something important that we feel like we have to say. You've never said no to me, amazingly enough, throughout the years, right? Which I wouldn't blame you for if you did, but it's really a great resource and incredibly valuable in our community. So thank you very much for doing the things that you do.
Thank you, Steve. And that is a perfect lead in to another reminder about supporting community radio. Our aim as a community radio station is to give voice to people and causes in the community that sometimes might not be heard or heard as often or as significantly. And so we appreciate all of the nonprofit partners that we have. And to support community radio, again, you can go to krfy.org and use the secure PayPal donation. You can come down to our offices at 323 North First Avenue and slide a check under the door. Because of COVID, it'll be closed. Or you can mail in a donation to P.O. Box 2465, Sandpoint, Idaho, 83864. And most importantly, listen and share the station with others. You can always live stream our shows. And our community conversations, as well as other programs, are recorded and played back as podcasts. So check out our podcast page for content going way back to the last 5 years, Steve. I think we've got your voice up on those podcasts on numerous occasions.
Can I make one more comment?
Sure.
Something about the Giving Tuesday that was sort of a shocker for me. I think, Britta, you mentioned that I think it started in 2012, and I think that they had something like $12 million in donations that have come in at that time. And this last year, $511 million was received. And I thought that was an astronomical figure and one that just really shows the giving heart of, you know, the people in this country. And I think it's really catching on. And so I would advise like everybody to, you know, pick an organization or two and just try and support them in whatever way they can for the good work that they're doing.
Great reminder, Steve. And it's also so important to the lifeblood of these organizations. And I think it's one of those things that we can take for granted, but to reflect on the generosity of our communities at this time of year is also, and it's an act of gratitude and it's an act of reassuring ourselves that we are all in it together and feeling good about that mutual support. Janice, we'll give you the last final word.
Well, I really would love our community to come out and show some support on December 11th. Our president, Rhonda Whitaker, and our former president, Howard Shaw, will be out at the Hoot Owl and at that spaghetti feed. It's $7 a plate from 4 to 7, and you could possibly win a turkey and take home a turkey for your Christmas dinner. And that's going to be one of our only fundraisers this year. And we want to thank KFRY for putting us on the air. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Janice. Well, you've managed to listen to another Community Conversations. We're going to close the show out now. And again, as I mentioned, if you tuned in partway and would like to hear the entire interview, usually within a day, we have it up on the website as a podcast. And of course, you can listen next week live streaming if you're out of the area, or encourage your friends to tune in to 88.5 FM, krfy.org. Thank you for listening.